Welcome to the deep dive. You know that feeling when you're swimming in information, trying to grasp what's truly important, eager for that aha moment.
Yeah, trying to find the signal in the noise.
Exactly. Today, we're tackling one of the biggest challenges in making sense of our world, pinpointing the exact moment things fundamentally change. Imagine you're a climate scientist trying to identify the precise year an ecosystem tipped. Or maybe an economist needing to mark a market turning point.
Right, those critical moments.
That's what we're talking about, those critical, often elusive turning points in complex data. And we're not just aiming to broadly spot these shifts. We're diving into some really groundbreaking research that lets us understand them with, well, unprecedented precision.
We're talking about change points.
Change points, yeah. Those pivotal moments when the underlying patterns, you know, the very rules of the game within the data just fundamentally alter. And here's the colossal challenge. You're often dealing with data that's both high dimensional.
Hundreds, sometimes thousands of variables all at once.
Exactly. And it's deeply temporally dependent.
Mm-hmm. Meaning today's data isn't just a random snapshot.
Right. It's intricately woven into yesterday's and the day before that.
In often complex nonlinear ways.
Taming that beast is, well, it's monumental. But our deep dives today brings us to a remarkable new paper in the Annals of Statistics.
Ah, a top journal.
It is. It's titled Change Point Inference in High-Dimensional Regression Models Under Temporal Dependence by Zhu, Wang, Zhao, and Yu.
Okay. So our mission today really is to guide you through this incredibly impactful research.
Right.
We want to extract the most insightful nuggets and truly show you why this advancement in statistical inference is such a major leap forward. It offers a much more robust understanding of dynamic systems across a huge range of fields. You mentioned economics, climatology.
Neuroscience too, potentially.
Definitely. We'll explore how these researchers tackle these critical challenges head on and reveal some truly fascinating real-world applications later on.
Okay, let's unpack this core idea then. What exactly is a change point? At its heart.
Well, think of it like this. You're observing a system, right? Maybe the stock market, patient vital signs, air quality.
Anything that changes over time.
Exactly. A change point is that unknown moment in time when the fundamental relationships between the variables you're watching suddenly shift.
It's not just random noise.
No, it's like the system's underlying operating manual has been rewritten at that specific point.
Got it. So how do they model that mathematically?
So in their research, they use a model that looks like ANAD equals XTB plus DEET.
Okay, let's break that down. DEET is what we're observing.
Yeah, think of AA as what you're observing or trying to predict, say, U.S. industrial production. XT represents all the factors influencing it.
Like interest rates, employment figures, global trade, a whole bunch of things.
A whole vector, yeah. And AA is just the inherent noise you can't avoid.
Yeah.
But the absolute key here is AA. These are the true regression coefficients.
So the rules connecting the factors XT to the outcome.
Precisely. They tell you how those factors influence your observation at any given moment. And what's revolutionary here is that Vort isn't fixed. It's not constant.
Okay.
It follows what they call a piecewise constant pattern. It stays the same for a while, then boom, it suddenly shifts to a new set of rules.
And stays constant again until the next shift.
Exactly. So when Vort is not equal to bet one, meaning the rules today are different from yesterday's rules.
You've hit a change point.
You've hit a change point. They label it Mubera. That's the precise moment the rules of the game fundamentally changed.
So it's like the system switches from one mode of operation to another.
Perfectly put.
And this isn't just abstract math, right? These kinds of sudden shifts, these new operating modes, they must be everywhere in the real world.
Absolutely, everywhere, affecting countless aspects of our lives. I mean, to give you a concrete example, think about air quality.
Okay.
Some researchers looked at an air quality data set, and they localized two really significant change points in particulate matter 10 data.
And these weren't just random blips.
Not at all. They corresponded directly to major environmental events. The first strong typhoon in 2015.
Which would dramatically change atmospheric conditions, yeah.
Right. And the beginning of a severe air pollution season. These are clear, impactful shifts in environmental dynamics.
Directly affecting air quality, public health, things that demand precise identification.
Exactly.
And adding to this complexity is the high-dimensional aspect you mentioned earlier.
Mm.
Modern data often comes with just a dizzying number of variables. In this paper, P, the number of covariates, or influencing factors, isn't just a fixed small number.
No, it scales with n, the sample size. So p can be huge, even much larger than n. That's truly high dimensional.
Wow.
And the National Research Council back in 2013 highlighted this exact problem change point analysis in high dimensional settings as one of the major challenges for modern data applications.
I can see why, if you have hundreds or thousands of potential factors.
Right. Identifying which relationships are changing and when those changes occur, it becomes an incredibly complex puzzle.
It's like finding a single shifting thread in a massive, constantly reweaving tapestry.
That's a great analogy.
Okay, now here's where it gets really interesting for me and a critical innovation this paper delivers: temporal dependence.
Ah, yes. Crucial.
Most real-world time series data isn't neatly independent from one moment to the next, is it?
Not at all. What happened yesterday often influences what happens today, and that dependence can be incredibly intricate, non-linear even.
Right.
And traditional change point analysis often, well, it simplifies this, assumes independence or maybe simple linear dependencies.
Sweeps it under the rug a bit.
You could say that. This paper makes a huge leap forward by robustly allowing for both the influencing factors, XT, and the noise to be temporally dependent.
Both parts of the equation.
Both parts. And they do this within a powerful functional dependence framework. This is genuinely a significant first in the change point inference literature.
Why? What makes it such a big deal?
Because it addresses a fundamental real-world complexity that previous methods often just sidestepped.
Okay, so functional dependence. What does that mean for us intuitively? How is it different from simpler models?
Great question. The real aha here, I think, is that functional dependence lets us capture the subtle, often invisible memory of a system.
Memory.
Yeah, how complex non-linear past events continue to shape the present in ways that simpler models just couldn't handle.
So it's not just assuming today's stock price only cares about yesterday's.
Exactly. This framework lets us model how it's actually influenced by a whole history of past prices, volumes, maybe even market sentiment.
In really complex, non-linear ways.
Right. Not just simple cause and effect.
Yeah.
This framework, introduced by Wu back in 2005, is super powerful for a few reasons.
Okay.
One, it's general. It includes a huge range of dependent processes, common time series models like ARMA, GRCH, even complex nonlinear systems.
So it's flexible.
Very. Two, it quantifies this nonlinear dependence mathematically, making it more tractable than other sort of vaguer mixing type assumptions.
Right. Gives you more mathematical tools to work with.
Precisely. It lets them use powerful tools, usually reserved for simpler, independent data, on this much more complex dependent data.
And the third reason.
Crucially, it extends to non-stationary sequences.
Which you absolutely need if you're modeling data where actual fundamental change points are occurring. The system isn't stationary then.
Exactly. It opens up entirely new possibilities for understanding dynamic systems like market sentiment shifts or climate feedback loops.
That makes a lot of sense. It sounds like they're tackling a much more realistic, much messier view of how data actually behaves in the wild.
That's the goal, yeah.
Now, you mentioned many studies focus on just testing if a change point exists or maybe estimating its rough location.
Detection and localization, yes.
But this paper takes on an even more ambitious inference task. What's the practical difference for us? Why does inference matter more?
Ah, this is fascinating. Inference goes a significant step further. It's about deriving the limiting distributions of those change point estimators.
Okay, limiting distributions. What does that translate to?
Yeah. For the listener, this means understanding the precise statistical properties of our estimates. How much uncertainty is there? And most importantly, for practical application, it allows us to construct confidence intervals for the exact location of those change points.
Confidence intervals. Okay, now that sounds useful.
It's where the rubber meets the road, really. Instead of just saying a change happened sometime around 2008, we can say we are 99% confident the actual change happened between November 2007 and January 2009.
That level of certainty,
Yeah.
that's invaluable for decision makers, surely.
Absolutely invaluable.
So the researchers behind this paper aren't just making one contribution. They're building an entirely new toolkit, it sounds like.
They really are. I mean, first, they are the first to conduct this kind of rigorous inference for this specific problem.
Yeah.
The high-dimensional linear regression model with change points under temporal dependence and allowing for multiple change points.
That combination is new.
Completely new territory for inference. It's a
Yes.
monumental step.
What else?
Secondly, they show something really interesting about the uncertainty. It turns out the behavior of the uncertainty around their estimated change points depends on the jump size.
The magnitude of the change, how big the shift in the rules was.
Exactly. It depends on whether that jump size vanishes, gets very, very small as you get more data, or whether it remains constant.
So whether the change is a whisper or a shout, it affects how we describe our confidence.
Precisely. It leads to two different types of limiting distributions, two different patterns of uncertainty.
What are they?
When the change is big and clear, non-vanishing, the uncertainty around its exact timing behaves like a two-sided random walk.
Like flipping a coin to decide each step, but you still see the overall direction.
Kind of, yeah. But when the change is tiny, barely a whisper, a vanishing jump, the uncertainty becomes more like a two-sided standard Brownian motion.
A very smooth, continuous, almost imperceptible drift.
Right. And understanding these different uncertainty patterns is crucial for making those confidence intervals truly reliable and accurate for the specific situation.
Makes sense. And the third main contribution.
Third, they provide a theoretically justified, consistent estimator for something called the long-run variance.
Long-run variance. Why is that important?
It's absolutely crucial for constructing reliable confidence intervals when you have temporal dependence. Standard ways of estimating variance just don't work correctly then.
Because things are correlated over time.
Exactly. So you need this special estimator. And this piece has largely been absent, or not rigorously justified, in previous high-dimensional change point work. It makes their intervals much more trustworthy.
Okay, wow. First inference, handling jump sizes, consistent variance estimation. That's a lot.
It is. But wait, there's more.
Oh.
Their work also generated some fascinating side effects, what they call byproducts, that are super useful on their own, even beyond this specific problem.
Computational and theoretical gems, you mean?
Exactly. Gems that stand on their own merit. First, for computational efficiency, which is vital with high-dimensional data, they propose a novel algorithm.
An algorithm?
Yeah, a variant of dynamic programming, which they call dynamic programming with dynamic update, or DPDU.
DPDU. Okay, what's the magic?
It significantly lowers the computational complexity. From order n cubed p squared, which is slow.
Very slow for big N and P.
Down to order N squared P squared without costing more memory. For anyone working with large data sets, this is a huge practical gain, makes these advanced methods actually feasible.
Faster analysis, more practical application.
Got it. What else? They also provide improved localization rates. Their analysis gives really tight guarantees on how close their estimated change points are to the true ones, even under this complex functional dependence.
And how good are these rates?
In certain cases, they actually recover the optimal rates, the best possible rates you could hope for, which were previously only known for simpler, independent data.
So their method is general and highly efficient at finding the points.
Bingo. And finally, a really fundamental theoretical result. A novel Bernstein inequality.
A Bernstein inequality. Okay, that sounds like some heavy-duty mathematical machinery. Why is that such a gem, especially for our listeners?
Think of it like this. Imagine you're trying to estimate something complex, like the average effect of many different factors on, say, economic growth, but you know these factors influence each other, and some might have really extreme, rare impacts, heavy tails.
Right. Things aren't simple and normally distributed.
Exactly. A Bernstein inequality is like a mathematical insurance policy.
Yeah.
It helps us put tight bounds on how wrong our estimate could possibly be, even with all that complex dependence and those potential outliers.
So it gives you guarantees even in messy situations.
Precisely. And this new one they developed is groundbreaking because it works specifically for the kind of complex dependence captured by the functional dependence framework and general types of outliers.
Which means it can be used elsewhere.
Absolutely. It's a powerful new tool that can be applied to a wide range of other high-dimensional problems beyond just change points. A real theoretical contribution.
It's incredible. So they've built this amazing toolkit. How do they actually put it all together? What's the step-by-step process they use to find these change points and put those confidence windows around them?
It's quite clever, actually. They use a two-step procedure.
Two steps, okay.
First, they get preliminary estimators. Think of these as initial guesses for where the change points might be.
How do they get those?
They use an 8-OPTALIZED estimation procedure. The 8 penalty encourages finding solutions with only a few change points, which makes sense. And this step is made highly efficient by their new DeepCU algorithm.
Ah, the fast algorithm comes in here.
Right at the start. This step also uses lasso estimation,
which helps select the important variables in high-dimensional settings.
Exactly. So this first step gives you a rough but quick and efficient map of potential change port locations.
But rough isn't good enough for inference.
Precisely. That map isn't precise enough for those confidence intervals. So in the second step, they refine these preliminary estimates locally.
Zooming in.
Exactly. It's like sending in a specialized survey team to take extremely accurate measurements around those initial locations. This step zeroes in on the change points with statistical exactitude needed for inference.
And, like any sophisticated statistical model, I assume it needs careful tuning. Setting the right parameters.
Absolutely. Especially with this kind of complex data, high-dimensional, dependent, potentially heavy-tailed.
It sounds tricky, like tuning hundreds of interconnected instruments.
That's a good way to think about it. Their careful parameter settings are like the conductor's precise instructions. They define specific ways to set key parameters, like the lasso penalty.
How do they set that?
It scales with the log of NP, which helps it adapt properly to both the number of variables and the sample size. They also define an interval length cutoff.
And these settings ensure robustness.
Yes, they ensure the algorithm performs well, even with that tricky functional dependence and the possibility of heavy tails, those extreme events.
Okay, so after all these steps, functional dependence, two-step estimation, DPDU, careful tuning. How do we actually get those numerical confidence intervals? We're 99% sure it happened between date X and date Y part.
Right. The bottom line. It's a multi-step calculation based on the refined estimates. First, you need to estimate those long-run variances using their special block type estimator that's algorithm 2 in their paper.
Accounting for the temporal dependence.
Crucial. You also need to estimate what they call drift coefficients, which capture how the regression coefficients are changing around the change point. That comes from their proposition 9.
Okay, variances and drift.
These calculated values, the variance estimates, the drift estimates, the jump size estimates, are then combined in a specific way based on those limiting distributions we talked about earlier, the random walk or Brownian motion.
Ah, connecting back to the theory.
Exactly. This combination allows them to numerically simulate a distribution that represents the uncertainty about the change point's location. From that simulated distribution, they can extract a numerical confidence interval.
Like a 95% or 99% confidence interval.
Precisely, giving you that statistically sound window, that high degree of certainty about where the true change point actually lies.
That's fantastic. Now, you mentioned the DPDU algorithm makes things faster. Is that just theoretical, or did they show it in practice?
Oh, they showed it clearly. Their numerical results are pretty vivid. DPDU is nearly twice as fast as the standard dynamic programming algorithm they compared against.
Twice as fast.
Across various settings, yeah. And crucially, while maintaining the same memory cost.
So no trade-off there.
Nope. This means you can run analyses much faster, which enables deeper, more timely insights, especially with the massive data sets we have now.
Being able to analyze, say, high-frequency financial data in half the time,
yes,
that can make a real difference.
Absolutely. Quicker identification of market regime changes, faster responses to evolving trends. It's a big practical advantage.
And the simulations they ran, did they back up the theory? Did the method actually work well?
They did. The simulations demonstrated really good localization performance, finding the change points accurately and, importantly, accurate coverage rates for the confidence intervals.
Meaning if they constructed a 95% confidence interval, it actually contained the true change point about 95% of the time in their tests.
Exactly that, which shows the theory translates into reliable real-world performance.
Any interesting nuances from the simulations?
Well, as you might expect, the accuracy generally improves with more data and interestingly, with fewer dimensions.
Makes sense. Less complexity.
Right. And they also showed there's a kind of sweet spot for the jump size.
How big the change is?
Yeah. If I is too small, the rules shift only slightly. It becomes harder to localize the change point accurately. The signal is weak.
But if it's too large?
If it's very large, it falls into that non-vanishing jump regime we discussed, which has different statistical behavior. Their framework handles both regimes, showing its robustness.
Okay, this all sounds incredibly powerful theoretically and efficient computationally. Now, let's get to where the rubber meets the road, the real-world application.
The macroeconomic deep dive. Yes.
They applied this whole procedure to the Federal Reserve Economic Database, FRD.
Which is huge, right?
Massive. They used 116 macroeconomic variables, things like inflation, unemployment, interest rates, production indices.
All potentially influencing the U.S. Industrial Production IP Index.
That was their target variable, UPS. So P was 116, a genuinely high-dimensional problem with known temporal dependencies. A perfect test case.
And what did they find?
The results are, frankly, striking. They identified two major change points with remarkable precision.
Okay.
First, they pinpointed June 2008. And get this, the 99% confidence interval they constructed was November 2007, January 2009.
Wow.
November 2007 to January 2009. That interval perfectly captures the start and the really critical events of the 2008 financial crisis.
Absolutely. From Bear Stearns needing a bailout in early 2008 through Lehman Brothers' bankruptcy in September and the massive economic turmoil that followed into early 2009, it nails it.
Just from the data and the model. Incredible. What was the second change point?
The second major change point they identified was January 2020.
Okay.
And the 99% confidence interval here was incredibly narrow. December 2019, February 2020.
December 2019 to February 2020. That's,
yeah.
That's exactly the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic's major global impact.
Precisely. It aligns perfectly with China's Wuhan lockdown in January 2020, the initial global spread, and just before the U.S. declared a national emergency in March 2020.
The level of precision here, derived purely from the economic data itself, is astounding.
It really is.
So this isn't just vaguely detecting a change sometime in 2008 or early 2020.
No.
It's providing a confident, statistically sound window around these major historical economic disruptions. It shows how the relationships between those 116 variables fundamentally shifted during these times.
Exactly. And their paper has a figure two, that vividly illustrates this. It shows the estimated regression coefficients, the Brot rules dramatically changing in both scale, and which variables were important across the segments before 2008, between 2008 and 2020, and after 2020.
Reflecting the profound economic transformations.
A clear reflection. It's a powerful testament to the methodology.
What an incredible deep dive we've had today. Seriously fascinating. We've journeyed from the theoretical foundations of functional dependence and clever algorithms like DPDU.
All the way to precisely identifying historical turning points in the U.S. economy.
Yeah. This research truly offers robust tools to confidently pinpoint exactly when and how complex systems change, even when the data is high-dimensional and messy and interconnected over time.
And this isn't just for statisticians in an ivory tower, right?
At all.
For you, the listener, whether you're a policymaker trying to react appropriately, an investor navigating volatile markets,
a scientist deciphering climate data or biological systems,
or honestly, just someone curious about the dynamics of the world around us, having methods that can accurately infer change points in this kind of complex data is invaluable.
It helps get through the noise.
It helps get through the noise, navigate uncertainty, and ultimately make better, more timely decisions in a world that's constantly evolving.
So here's a final thought to leave you with. Think about the systems that impact your life.
Hmm.
Global climate patterns, sure, but also maybe the adoption rate of new technologies, market trends in your industry, perhaps even subtle shifts you might track in personal health data over time.
Mm.
If we could apply this level of precision, getting these tight, confident windows around fundamental shifts, what new insights would emerge in those areas?
And how might that empower us?
Right. How might that empower us to anticipate change better, to adapt more effectively, maybe even to innovate in ways we can only just begin to imagine?